The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times and the Washington Post. Now, before we begin our journey on today's episode of Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or the travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we begin with a weekend visit to a well-known coastal community in California, 36 hours in Carmel, California. It's part of an ongoing travel series that's featured regularly in the New York Times. Now, this one, written by Daniel Scheffler, appeared in the April 3, 2025 issue of the Times, and it features photographs taken by Jason Henry. So let us head to Carmel now and enjoy 36 hours there. When locals say Carmel, they mean Carmel by the Sea, the quaint seaside village on California's central coast without streetlights and addresses, where Clint Eastwood was mayor once upon a time. But many also mean nearby coastal Carmel Highlands and Carmel Valley. The three enclaves have long-drawn artists, writers, and bohemian types like Jack Kerouac and Salvador Dali, who came to the region for its fresh Pacific Ocean air, starry night skies, and the Santa Lucia Mountains and sandy beaches off dramatic coastal cliffs. Those natural features now attract a new cohort of creatives, resulting in a profusion of locavore restaurants, snazzy shops, art galleries, and boutique hotels. Next year, the completed renovation of the Monterey Airport, designed by the architectural design firm HOK, or H-O-K, may make access to the area even easier for visitors and residents alike. Now, some of the recommended key stops are stroll along the sugary white Carmel Beach. Dogs are allowed to roam off-leash there. Hike the trails at Point Lobos State Natural Reserve, this to catch a glimpse of migrating whales, and visit the Whaler's Cabin. It's now a museum, built in the 1850s to house local fishermen. And more forever ocean views, plus redwood groves, they can be enjoyed by meandering through the Garapata State Park. Now, walk around the fable-like town of Carmel by the Sea with its storybook homes and addresses and businesses. Just remember the enclave's odd rules. It includes a required permit to wear heels over 2 inches lest you trip over the famously uneven pavement. Well, sit and sip a glass of locally grown estate Pinot Noir at the Payo Estate, now tasting room in Carmel Valley Village. You can also dine at a favorite local spot called Stationery, which serves sourdough avocado toast with seaweed. It's from Monterey Bay. And you can rent a Mad Dogs and Englishmen bike and ride sidecar to cruise about the whole area. As far as getting around, well, the greater area is probably best explored with a car or an e-bike. From Carmel Valley to Carmel by the Sea, it's about 10 miles. Carmel by the Sea is walkable with some hills up and down to the actual beach, and Carmel Valley Village is easily strolled. Now, for Carmel Valley, the Monterey Salinas Transit's 24 bus cost about $2. Ride-share services like Uber are also available. So there you have kind of an overview and a snapshot. Now we're going to get into our weekend itinerary starting on a Friday at 3 p.m. We're going to eat and stroll the Sunny Valley. Carmel Valley Village, which was established first as Airway Village in 1946 as a spot for cowboys and ranchers to purchase supplies and provisions, it's always beyond the coastal fog. Today it has an array of wine-tasting rooms, places to eat, art galleries, and an art institute called Hidden Valley, specializing in opera, dance, theater, and musical performances. You can check their website for up-to-date events. First stop is Carmel Valley Creamery, which has a hitching post in case you come on horseback. Originally from Normandy, France, the cheesemaker Sophie Haville has a selection that includes a coriander-infused cheese washed with beer. That's for $12 for a half wheel. She also sells Alta coffee, latte start at $5, fresh pastries for $6, and then bread from Ad Astra Bread Company, $10 to $12. Now, you can quench your thirst with a classic tasting of $35 a person at Paleo Estate, a boutique winery owned by two sisters. They offer fun wines from sustainably organically framed farmed grapes, plus curated picnic baskets, all for $50. Now, Annex Wine Bar is where we'll head next. It's 5:30 Friday afternoon. We're going to slide into the evening with a drink in Carmel by the Sea. As the sun starts to set, pop in for local wine at Annex Wine Bar, owned by the same proprietors of the 7th and Dolores restaurant next door. For their reserved flights, $60 a person, the Annex serves 5 limited production offerings, including folktale We Are a Flower, a Sauvignon Blanc Semillon, and then we have a folktale The Hound, a classic Bordeaux blend from grapes grown in Carmel Valley. The owners, Greg and Madigan Ahn, are originally from Los Angeles, and on a Friday evening, you're likely to find them eating oysters and chatting with customers. Also, try Bud's Dime Time Happy Hour at the La Playa Hotel. It was once a luxurious mansion built as a gift to Angela Ghirardelli, an heiress to the famed chocolate fortune. Now, the newly restored bar is named in honor of the local legend, also a former owner, Howard Bud Allen. And once a day, at the bartender's discretion, a 10-cent happy hour commences for 10 minutes. Then we have Chez Noir, and that's at 8 p.m. We're going to feast as the fog rolls in. There are 2 distinct approaches to dinner on a Friday evening in Carmel by the Sea. Either feast at the newly Michelin-starred restaurant Chez Noir or try a much low-key approach at the Stationery. At Chez Noir, the owners, the husband and wife team of Johnny Black and Monique Black, live upstairs. They have a local micro-seasonal and seafood-centric menu. Start with artichokes with Monterey squid and lemon, then a nettle and potato ganache, and finish with brant beef as your third. Now, if you have the space, try the étouffée long before calling it a night. Now, this is $150 prefix per person. Stationery offers a different feel, but still delicious. A laid-back neighborhood restaurant where the chef, Amaya Skitana, sources and serves seasonal produce from Monterey and Santa Cruz County farms and ranches. You can try the Ad Astra sourdough. It's served with stepladder cultured butter and Big Sur sea salt, all for $14, plus grilled swordfish served on romesco and broccoli deciduo, and that's for $49. Pretty good price for swordfish there. Crown all that with a Basque cheesecake for $13. On Saturday, it's time to head out, and we're going to do Mission San Carlos Borromeo de Carmelo. And this is 7 a.m., so what are we going to do? We're going to walk, ride, or just try to get rid of some carbs. Most of your breakfast needs can be solved at Rise and Rome Bakery in Carmel by the Sea, where Chef Jessica Haney make seasonal quiche, cinnamon rolls, and classic biscuits, and the prices start at just $4. Afterward, pick up your favorite style of caffeine at the Mad Dogs and Englishman Bike Shop. They partner with one of the oldest family-run coffee producers in the world, Dusseldorf Cafe. But really visit to rent a vintage-style scrambler e-bike. It has a sidecar. It's $150 for the day, plus $10 for your dog accessories if you bring your pup along. Now, to ride one of the region's many dog-friendly beaches, like nearby Carmel River State Beach with its bird sanctuary and lagoon, all that for free, or you can go to Mission San Carlos Borromeo de Carmelo. Now, museum, store, and grounds is $15 entrance per person. A National Historic Landmark, considered the most authentically restored Franciscan mission in California. Now on to 10 a.m. in the morning, we're going to get out on the bay at the Point Lobos State Natural Reserve. To view local sea creatures, you have many options. Walking the trails at Point Lobos State Natural Reserve, it's $10 to park, is the most accessible, and gray whales, which migrate past this area from December to April, can be easily spotted from the coast. Or you can book a whale-watching boat tour on Monterey Bay with Princess Monterey Whale Watching. These start at $70 and go up to 3 hours. Or if you're feeling active, you can book a kayak tour, $65 a person for 3 hours, in the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary to see sea otters, seals, sea lions, and dolphins all up close. If quaffing local wine is more your speed, reserve a seat with the Carmel Valley Wine Tours. It's $179 per person for 5 hours, and which halts their trolley at spots like the Romby Wine, Scratch Wines, and Seabold Cellars. So I hope you caught that. You're on a trolley doing all this and making a few stops along the way. Well, we're going to check out the Dutch Door Donuts next. It's 1 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. Time to grab a picnic and head to the beach. En route to Carmel Beach, stop at Dutch Door Donuts for a fried-to-order donut. The flavors are distinctive. Think seasonal guava lime or classic chocolate brown butter, all for $4.50. Now, for something a little more substantial, select a picnic of cheeses, deli snacks, sandwiches, and drinks from Nielsen Brothers Market. Friendly to off-leash dogs and right on the foot of the Ocean Avenue, Carmel Beach has silvery sand and an annual sandcastle contest. There is time-limited free street parking along the Camino Real Scenic Road. Now, as you amble to the shoreline, you'll see views of the famed 17-mile drive. Admission is $12.25 per vehicle. A scenic jaunt that hugs the Pacific coast and the 10th green of the Pebble Beach Golf Links. And not only will you see this location, I'm just interjecting here, not from the article. You probably will see this if you watch any of the golf classics on TV, but you'll also see it in some movies. It's a popular movie-taking spot. You can glimpse the rugged nature views with Monterey cypress trees and a dramatic coastal cliff. If you're a surfer, this is also where you get your board wet, or you can book a lesson with Carmel by the Sea Surf Lessons, $300 per couple. Now, at 3 p.m., let's stroll around in Art Colony Village. Some of the region's fairy tale vibes come from the 21 tiny, zany cottages scattered around Carmel by the Sea that the self-taught architect Hugh Constock built in the 1920s for his wife, Mayotta Brown. But this petite town has been a haven for artists for over a century. Salvador Dali was an early member of the Carmel Art Association, and even though the photographer Ansel Adams lived here at one point, it was the photographer Edward Weston who captured its beauty. Find work from both photographers plus more at the Weston Gallery, and this is by appointment only. You can also check out other galleries. A highlight is the Monica Graham Fine Art, or you can just explore the village for yourself. The Carmel Heritage Society suggests a self-guided walking tour. You can download it from their website. And the Carmel Public Library Foundation also offers community events like talks about Henry Miller's influence on the area. The author lived in nearby Big Sur. Now, next up is something called VisVim. It's 5 p.m., so we're going to do what we call some amusing shopping. Start at the chic Japanese menswear brand VisVim, known for combining modern technical ways to enhance garments with age-old production techniques. Then nip next door to one of the best collections of vintage unisex clothing stores in California. It's called Wally's. Now, if you are lucky, the owners, Andrew and Jordan Chug, are there for interesting chats. If you want to find something remarkably quirky, the Mole Hole is just where to dig that up. It's a truly one-of-a-kind gift store that has everything imaginable, from tiny woodsy ceramic animals to fun martini glasses and collector's edition brass Monopoly pieces. And speaking of witty names, you shouldn't miss the Nut Hut. That's next door. That's where you'll find all your gourmet gift basket needs. Now, it's 7 p.m. on Saturday night, and we're going to head out to Le Bicyclette, going to eat with the locals. At the Pocket, you will find some of the best dishes on the Central Coast, including salads like roasted beets with chicory for $17, or Monterey black cod with blood orange for $47. Now, if you fancy a French twist, try Le Bicyclette's Plats Le Jour, and that is Canonelle de Emilia with pork for $42, finished with a tartare pomme for $16. For Italian comfort food, try Il Tagamino, the raviola de champagne with eggplant for $38, and they say it's delicious. And if you can get a reservation, a Coney, and there's no website, but you have to call a number, is not going to disappoint. The restaurant is known for its Master Chef sushi selection, $60 and up, but locals know how to check the specials board. It often includes local halibut for $15 and Monterey squid for $16. A Coney has just a few seats and a few limited hours, so there you go. On to Barmel at 9 p.m., and you continue the evening at local bars. The actual bar at Barmel was built in 1900 and was once owned by one of San Francisco's most famous madams, Sally Stanford, who later became the mayor of Sausalito. This saloon-style cocktail bar in Carmel by the Sea is inspired by gangsters, prohibition, and the California Gold Rush era. It's one of the very few late-night dance spots in an otherwise sweetly sleepy little town. Plus, they have weekly live music, DJs, and plenty of nightlife credibility. It does all shut down by 2 a.m. Now, if you would rather meet some cowboys, you can head down the valley to the Running Iron Restaurant and Saloon. Now, they have a jukebox and cowboy boots hanging from the ceiling, plus a reputation for rowdiness. So you get a clear choice there, don't you? Well, the sunset over Monterey Bay at Marina Dunes Preserve Marina is one that you want to see. And so it's Sunday morning after you go visit the marina, and we're all going to head Earthbound Farm Stand at 9 a.m. This is for caffeine and a tour of an organic garden. Now, in Carmel Valley at Earthbound Farms, organic farm stand, grab a cappuccino. They serve Sight Glass Coffee, a roaster out of San Francisco, and their Sunrise Coffee Bowl, gluten-free with roasted sweet potatoes, sautéed kale, as just the right amount of chili, yogurt dressing, and more. All that for $16. Now, if you have extra time, take a tour of the grounds with their gardener, or pick your own fresh herbs and berries. Now, the costs vary here. They have plenty of seasonal activities, too. Flower bouquet making in the spring, lavender harvesting in summer, pumpkin picking in the fall, and wreath making in wintertime. Now, Garapata State Park is our next stop. It's 11 a.m. We're going to grab some fresh air and forever ocean views, okay? Just a 10-minute drive down the Pacific Coast Highway on a mostly foggy, windy road is Garapata State Park. It's ideal for hiking and walking at all levels. On the coastal side of the road is Sorbonne's Point with Whale Peak, a 280-foot climb. It offers sterling views of the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, a federal marine protected area. On the other side of the road is the Soberanus Canyon Trail. It's 2.8 miles out and back. It takes about an hour and a half. This is where you'll find redwoods and wildflowers, and parking for Garapata State Park is along the side of the road. So all that to enjoy at Carmel. Well, now, let's see here. What can we do? The question is, can you really travel on $75 a day? That was a headline we found, and it's called Here's How Nomadic Matt Does It, Andrea Sachs' article appearing in the February 7, 2025 issue of the Washington Post. It features a picture of Matt Kepnes, a.k.a. Nomadic Matt, and he's seen at Machu Picchu. Now, he says he can travel for $75 a day with a combination of frugality, adventurousness, and careful planning. Let's hear his story. Inflation has hit all parts of the travel world, including Nomadic Matt. For decades, the thrifty Globetrotter says he's been able to stick to a roughly $50-a-day budget, an accomplishment he charts on his blog and in a 2013 book on the same subject. With rising cost, however, he has had to raise the ceiling by $25, less than what some people spend on a week of lattes, but enough to warrant an updated title and a slew of new content for the fourth edition of his bestseller. The coronavirus pandemic and the past few years of economic upheaval have changed travel, Matt Kepnes told the Washington Post. New ways of traveling have appeared. Old ways have disappeared. Companies went under. New companies now exist, as he told Ms. Sachs. And How to Travel the World on $75 a Day, which came out in March, I should say, he provides modern-day nomads with tools to figure out how to navigate the high inflation of high-cost travel. Now, the $75 covers all expenses, including international flights, ground transportation, lodging, food, and activities. The proliferation of points and mileage programs, budget airlines, cashback offers, and other cost-cutting strategies can offset many of the big-ticket items, he explained. I think traveling the world is still doable on a budget, he said. Now, the book is directed at long-term travelers, but his tips will resonate with anyone who wants to get away without alarming their financial advisor. Now, here's some of the key takeaways. Travel like you live. Yes, most people's everyday lives don't involve eating out three times a day, packing multiple activities into a short time span, and racing around town from sunup to nightfall. That nonstop busyness can deplete more than the energy reserves. Take it down a notch by practicing some of your at-home habits in your new destination. Use public transportation, go to the supermarket, hang out in the park, and read a book in a cafe. You end up saving a bunch of money because you're avoiding the tourist stuff, he said. It will also induct you into the local lifestyle. Next tip, don't pay ATM fees. That wad of local currency you withdrew from a bank's ATM might come with a small ransom, a foreign transaction fee. To avoid extraneous fees, Kepnes recommends the Global ATM Alliance, a network of international banks that allowed cardholders to tap into affiliates' ATMs for no additional cost. Though not part of the alliance, the Charles Schwab Bank card is his top pick for a multitude of reasons. For one, he doesn't pay a fee for using the debit card abroad. If a foreign bank exacts a charge, Charles Schwab will reimburse him for that amount. The bank will also send a replacement card anywhere in the world for $15. That's a perk he took advantage of when he lost his card and needed cash in Sri Lanka. Limit your debit card. On a trip in 2011, Kepnes made a terrifying discovery. The roughly $10,000 in his bank account was gone. While flying from London to Bangkok, someone in Russia cleaned him out after stealing his debit card information. The bank eventually reimbursed him for the sum, but he no longer takes chances. He sets a withdrawal limit of $1,000 a day, which he said is more than enough for his expenses. Should your ATM card get swiped or duplicated, the damage they can do before the card gets blocked is very small, he said. Get travel insurance. Kepnes might cut corners on lodging and meals, but he won't skip travel insurance, even on seemingly risk-free trips. You never know what's going to happen to you. A flight is delayed, stuff gets stolen, you're wandering around Barcelona and get hit by a bus, he said. The future calamity will cost more than the outlay of the insurance. He says insurance came to the rescue when he slipped on rocks in Italy and broke his camera, when his bag was stolen in South Africa, when he popped an eardrum in Thailand, and when he was stabbed by a mugger in Colombia. Well, being in Colombia, it was like $60, he said, of the medical expenses, but it was $60 I didn't have to worry about. Kepnes, who started his budget travel journey as a 20-something backpacker, has not aged out of communal lodgings. He still stays in hostels, which are much cheaper than a budget hotel, and saves even more these days with the Hostel Pass, which offers discounts on European properties. For destinations without hostels or for more private accommodations, he recommends renting a guest room in a home or apartment. This was how Airbnb and other apartment rental services were truly intended, he said wistfully. A handful of lodging platforms require an annual membership or subscription fee, such as church couch surfing and warm showers. Now free services and communities have cropped up to fill the void. This includes Travel Ladies, an app that caters to solo female adventurers. On Facebook, you can try Girls Love Travel, find a travel buddy, and Solo Trips and Travelers. There's been a rise in Facebook groups that allow you to meet locals and other travelers on your trip, and you can stay with them for free. Before crawling into a stranger's spare bed, he investigates the potential host's digital footprint. He checks their LinkedIn, Instagram, and other social media accounts, which should be active, verified, and public. If everything is private, I will just say no because I can't tell if you're a real person, he said. For your first in-person meeting, rendezvous in a public place. If your first impression is ick, then decline the offer and find alternative accommodations. All common sense, isn't it? Well, dine outside the tourist zone. In touristy areas such as New York's Times Squares, Barcelona's La Ramblas, or Venice's St. Mark's Square, Kepnes will walk 5 blocks in any direction to find less expensive and more authentic dining options. It's sort of this invisible wall, he said, separating establishments that cater to tourists from ones that serve the local community. In that short distance, he said, the menu will go like from 6 different languages to just 1 local language with local prices. Mix high and low destinations. If you choose only pricey destinations, such as the United Kingdom, Australia, you may have to deprive yourself of some experiences or increase your budget limit. To avoid these sacrifices, Kepnes suggests crafting an itinerary that mixes pricier countries or cities with budget ones. If you're planning a European vacation, for instance, the farther east you go, the more money you can save. Paris is going to be more expensive than Prague, and Prague is going to be more expensive than Sofia in Bulgaria, he said. In a single country, venture beyond the bold name destinations. Don't just go to the south of France or Paris or Bordeaux, he said. Go to the smaller cities and more rural places where the prices dramatically drop. Now, you can visit tourism offices, is his final suggestion. Straighten your fanny pack and march into a municipal or regional tourism office, and you're going to be surprised at what you find. People think of them as these places that just have touristy brochures and cheesy activities, but their staff are people who live in the city you're visiting, Captain said. It's really just about asking the right questions. Inquire about discounts on attractions and activities, gratis events and admission-free museums and cultural sites. Pepper the experts with questions about where they eat, not where you should eat. I don't want to know about the most popular places, he said. I want to know where they go when they get off work. Well, our final stop here is with Australian Mike Robinson, who flew around the world in 58 hours. He offers some travel tips, as he tells writer Andrea Sachs in his article published in the April 14, 2025 issue of the Washington Post. After a January trip to Singapore, Mike Robinson could have rather spent a relaxing holiday weekend at home in Melbourne, Australia. Instead, he turned around and flew nearly 28,500 miles over 4 days. Think about that one. He's a 65-year-old who works for a software company. And he wasn't chasing miles. He was in hot pursuit of a Guinness World Record. On January 28th, he succeeded, breaking the 25-year record for the fastest circumnavigation by scheduled flights through exact antipodal points. Now, antipodes, or podes, are points on Earth that are directly opposite each other. He completed the route in 58 hours and 8 minutes, about 4 hours faster than the previous title holders held by a pair of Englishmen. The pole vault record was out of my reach, Robinson quipped in a recent video call from Melbourne. His first step in his record chase was locating diametric destinations. The 2000 winners had chosen Madrid and Tea Tree Point in New Zealand. Robinson discovered that he could draw a straight line from Auckland Airport in New Zealand to Fuente del Duque, a historical site between Madrid and Malaga, Spain. He turned to flightconnections.com to flight his itinerary. Now, the record-setting journey, he booked 5 legs starting in New Zealand using about 130,000 points on oneworld carriers. Round-trip air from his home airport in Melbourne to the start-end point in New Zealand didn't count. From Auckland, he would fly to New York, then to Madrid and Malaga, where he drove 90 minutes each way to the Grail in Andalusia. For the return, he would travel to Malaga, to Doha, Qatar, back to Auckland. Though he was racing against the clock, he still needed to allow himself enough time to make connections, especially in the event of a plane delay or cancellation. His biggest concern was missing the flight to Madrid, because New York City's John F. Kennedy Airport requires all international passengers, including ones in transit, to pass through customs, immigration, and security. It was all in the preparation, he said. Once I was sitting down on that first plane, I couldn't do anything. His longest flight was 15 and a half hours from New Zealand to New York. The lengthiest layover was nearly 7 hours in Malaga, which granted him enough time for the road trip, plus a quick bite to eat on the return to the airport. That meal, the Manchego cheese on toast, was his only meal not prepared by an airplane galley or airport lounge. Fortuitously, all the planes arrived early. He was able to squeeze in showers in New York, Doha, and Auckland. Robinson, who travels frequently to Europe and the U.S., is accustomed to inordinately long flights. He says living in Australia, well, you get used to it. And there you go, my friends, some interesting ways to travel. I hope you've enjoyed today's journey on Armchair Travel and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, reminding you the content of the program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have any comments or questions, please direct them to 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.